Hello and welcome to another episode on Football Talk Podcast. My name is Ozzy and I'm your host for today's show. Now, today we'll be discussing all the big talking points in match week 28. That includes Liverpool and Man City sharing a point each at Anfield. The result adds another twist in the title race as Arsenal defeated Brentford to claim top spot in with joint points there. Tottenham demolished Villa in front of their fans and United managed to keep a clean sheet after beating Everton. So let's begin with the review. There's no other place to start, and that is with the two big heavyweights going toe-to-toe, Liverpool versus Man City, and the last dance for Klopp and Pep Guardiola as they face each other for the last time before Klopp takes a break from managerial duty. Not only that, there was a lot riding on this game, as both teams are trying to maintain momentum and take charge as we approach the crunching time of the season. The first opening 10 minutes was all City. They were aggressive in their play and were creating some of the probably best chances in the first half. From there onwards, Liverpool started to get involved a lot more in the game, stringing more passes and having a lot of possession. But City, out of nowhere, hit us with a killer blow in the 23rd minute. Kevin De Bruyne hits a lovely low cross from the corner to fool everyone with the training ground routine. John Stones goes past Nunez and finds himself by the near post and hits a clever shot past Kelleher. So a well-executed goal by City. Some fans may argue that there was some pushing in the lead-up, but not for me. It wasn't anything that you don't normally see in a set piece. Liverpool had two big chances in the first half. The first one involved Harvey Elliott producing a nice dinked pass into the middle of the box. So Szoboszlai leaps in the air to head towards goal, but he wasn't able to generate the right power or accuracy. But the second chance for me was more clear-cut. Luis Diaz comes infield, has the whole goal to aim at, but unfortunately his shot is dragged wide. Huge missed opportunity there. Liverpool were trailing at halftime, but I had a feeling we could get something from the game. In the second half, it didn't take too long for Liverpool to take the lead, or should I say equalise, as Edison lashes out on Nunez with a reckless challenge into the box. Penalty awarded, and McAllister steps up and he hits a shot low and hard into the corner and finishes it clinically to make it 1-1. After that moment, Liverpool dominated City throughout the second half. They couldn't really lay a glove on the Reds. Mohamed Salah comes off the bench and makes an instant impact. He hits a lovely through ball to Diaz on the left-hand side. He goes infield, finds himself one-on-one with the keeper, but his side-footed shot curls out and goes wide. Huge opportunity to score, and for me, one that Liverpool will regret, as that was the moment to take the lead. And there was a bit of drama towards the later stages of the game, where Liverpool should have been awarded with a penalty. Doku pretty much does a super kick, studs up on McAllister's chest. Michael Oliver, who was the referee, has a clear view. VAR have cameras to view the incident in real time and also in slow motion, but no one had the balls to call it out and award Liverpool with a penalty. Some may argue and say Doku got a touch of the ball. For me, that's incorrect. He completely missed the ball in the challenge, made contact on the player first with the foul, and then the ball rebounded off his shin. After that incident, you can see how worried and concerned Doku was, as he thought he blew it for his team. But luckily for him, nothing was awarded. And to say it bluntly, Liverpool were robbed once again by PGMOL and VAR, and it's not the first time. I'm sick and tired of these incompetent officials and the cheek of rival fans calling us Liverpool, like we get decisions in our favour all the time. That very rarely happens, and unfortunately, I don't want to say it out loud, but I have to say how I feel. I believe this draw with City will cost Liverpool the title. Maybe it's the trauma of losing previous titles to City over the years, but right now, it's not in our control anymore. And when we normally have to rely on other teams to get results for us, it never pans out. But look, there's still 10 games to go to play in the league. Anything can happen, and I'm sure we'll be seeing more twists and turns in the title race. Liverpool have now dropped to second, but are on level points with Arsenal, who now claim top spot. Some of their fans have been shameless over the weekend with their celebrations or arrogance by pulling out the cigars. let's not forget the premature celebrations that took place last season, and you end up with nothing in the end. So who says nothing can, you know, that can't happen again this season. This fixture that's coming up is going to be huge as Man City face Arsenal after the international break on the 31st of March. Now on to the next fixture. Arsenal versus Brentford, which ended 2-1. A huge win for the Gunners, who have been in great goal-scoring form in recent weeks and also have probably been playing the best football between the top three. Declan Rice opens the scoreline with a fantastic header. Now, we all know what a great defensive midfielder he is, but since joining Arsenal, he's really elevated his game and has added goals to his game. Pretty remarkable, and at the minute, looks like one of the best summer signings this season. And for me, a strong candidate of being crowned player of the season. Ramsdale starts in the fixture, but he had a moment of calamity as he takes forever to make a clearance. And in the end, Brentford's Wissa slides in to make the block, and the ball ends up hitting the Brentford attacker and then into the back of the net. Ramsdale has waited quite some time to be given a chance to start. Looks like he'll be waiting on the sidelines a lot longer this time around. Ivan Toney almost gives Brentford the lead in the second half with an audacious left foot strike from 40 yards. Credit to Ramsdale. He makes a crucial save to parry it away. Collins almost scores a header for Brentford, but Ramsdale seems to have woken up then, makes another good save to tip the ball over the bar. Declan Rice almost gets his second goal of the game with a long distance shot that clips the post. So unlucky with that effort. But in the 86th minute, Arsenal produce a late winner, and it's their other summer signing, Kai Havertz, who leaps in the air and heads the ball into the back of the net. Poor goalkeeping from Flecken, who for me should have saved it. But nonetheless, a huge moment for the player and the team. It could be a defining moment in their title race. As mentioned previously, Arsenal are now top of the league on joint points with Liverpool. Still a lot of games to play. Arsenal face City next, and they have some other tricky encounters, including a derby against Spurs. But congrats to Arsenal, who have just progressed into the quarterfinals of the Champions League after beating Porto on penalties. The next fixture, Aston Villa versus Tottenham, which ended 4-0 to Spurs. What a crazy scoreline, and one that caught me by surprise, especially as Aston Villa have been immaculate at home this season. The first goal, great play by Papa Sarr on the right side, whips in a fantastic cross into the six-yard box, and Maddison cushions the ball very cleverly towards the ground and makes it 1-0 for Spurs. Brennan Johnson makes it 2-0 with a lovely finish that hits the roof of the net, but it gets from bad to worse for Villa as McGinn has a moment of rage and lashes out on the doggy with an awful tackle. He gets a straight red, and that was the right decision in the end. No arguments there. 10-man Villa, and it was a mountain to climb after that. Heung-min Son makes it 3-0 with a powerful shot from the inside of the box. Great finish from the captain. And Timo Werner makes it 4-0 with a nice side-footed effort. And that gives Spurs the 3 points away from home against one of their closest rivals for fourth spot. Villa are still fourth in the league with 55 points. However, they've played one more game more than Spurs, who are fifth with 53 points. So if Spurs beat Fulham this Saturday, they will leapfrog Villa to fourth position. Next fixture, Manchester United versus Everton, which ended 2-0. United are back to winning ways after two defeats on the bounce. It didn't take long to break the deadlock as Tarkowski fouls Garnacho in the box and a penalty is awarded for the Red Devils. Bruno Fernandes steps up, hits a low and finds the corner to beat Pickford from the penalty spot. Everton were just gifting penalties in this game. Garnacho was fouled in the box once again. This time it was Godfrey who made the foul. Rashford steps up for this penalty. He runs up towards the ball, stops, and then places the ball into the opposite corner of the keeper. Great finish and wraps up the game for Manchester United. That win doesn't do anything for United in the league, unfortunately, who remain in sixth position, but they're still 8 points behind fourth place Villa. Next fixture, Chelsea versus Newcastle, which ended 3-2. Billy FC managed to squeeze in the win after this 5-goal thriller. Action Jackson opened the scoreline as he flicks the ball from a Cole Palmer shot. Then Newcastle equalised with a sublime finish from Isaac. He's such a good player, quality finisher. I feel like one of the big boys might be looking to sign him in the summer. Just have that inkling about him. Chelsea then make it 2-1 with a lovely strike from Cole Palmer from the edge of the box. Mudryk makes it 3-1 as he goes around the keeper and manages to hit the empty net. I think that's his first goal in the league this season. Jacob Murphy gets a consolation goal in the end for Newcastle with a thunder shot. What a hit from the winger. Despite the win, Chelsea are still unable to climb up to the top half of the table as they're currently 11th in the league. Newcastle dropped to 10th, unfortunately. Now in other games, Crystal Palace versus Luton Town, which ended 1-1. Heartbreak for the Eagles to concede very late in the game and miss out on all 3 points. Mateta opens the scoreline with a clever flick. He probably should have scored a second moments later with a dinked finish, but misses the target. Terrible miss, in my opinion. Mateta then has another chance with a header, but somehow Kaminski makes an unbelievable save from close range. Luton throw the kitchen sink towards the latter stages of the game, and it was Townsend who hits a great cross into the box, and Woodrow flicks the header into the corner of the net. What a finish, and he rescues a point for Luton Town. Next fixture, Bournemouth versus Sheffield United, which ended 2-2. Bournemouth did very well to get the point in the end as they were trailing 2-0. They were awarded a penalty in the first half as Solanke was fouled in the box. But unfortunately, he slips as he takes the penalty and skies the ball over the bar. Hammer opens the scoreline for the Blades as he smashes the ball from inside the box. A mistake from goalkeeper Neto from a corner that leads to Sheffield United scoring their second of the game through a Jack Robinson finish. Ouattara makes it 2-1 with a brilliant header from a corner. And Enes Unal scores a last-minute winner from a corner kick. Poor defending from the Blades in both set pieces, to be fair. That's Unal's first goal of the season. So a nice way to open your goal-scoring count in front of the home fans. Next fixture, Wolves versus Fulham, which ended 2-1 to Wolves. They managed to walk away with all 3 points. Ait Nouri opens the score sheet, scoring from close range. So Mado makes it 2-0 with his placed effort. Gets a big deflection, but I don't think he could care less how it goes in. And Iwobi gets a consolation goal later on for Fulham towards the end. Next fixture, West Ham versus Burnley, which ended 2-2. The Hammers managed to secure the point in the end. The opening goal, what a strike from Fofana for Burnley. Smashed it from 25 yards. That's my goal of the week. An own goal, unfortunately, for West Ham, as Mavropanos gives Burnley a 2-0 lead. But the Hammers respond in the second half. Paqueta drives with the ball and produces a nice clinical finish to make it 2-1. And then Danny Ings rescues the point for West Ham in the 91st minute with a lovely turn and volley. And the final fixture, Brighton versus Nottingham Forest, which ended 1-0 to Brighton. A huge win for the Seagulls. And you can tell by the celebrations at the end of the game. It was a scrappy on goal that won the game from Omar Bamidele. But Brighton couldn't care less how it was done. They walk away with all 3 points, but face a tough encounter against Liverpool in the next fixture. So that is my review of Match Week 28. Just going to go through some of the comments here. Comment here from Mihaila. He says, Dominic Szoboszlai fought himself through. He was so greedy to play and wanted to play desperately. I'm pretty sure in the fast of he was like, wow, that's a motorway here, and goes all in. Klopp said that after the match. Yeah, in terms of his performance, I thought he did well, but you have to take into consideration that he's just returned from injury, so he's not going to, you know, play his usual self right now. He's always going to give his all for the team, so no. For me, we spoke about this yesterday as well. He's a quality player, and I'm sure a lot of Liverpool fans share the same viewpoint about Dominic Szoboszlai. And I've just also got a comment here from Uncle Roz. He said, bro, you good? All good, Uncle Roz. Thank you for your comment. Thank you for tuning in. Before we end the show, I will announce the FPL Manager of the Week. And that goes to Jack Crayfrone. And his team name is Crayfrone's Champs. And he managed to attain 67 points. So well done to Jack. Making Son captain was a masterstroke, as Son managed to notch up 34 points. And that was pretty much half of your tally there. So yeah, that was definitely a smart move there. I got a measly 31 points. And unfortunately, I've dropped to 50th position now. So Not a good week for myself or for my team Liverpool, but hey, that's how it goes sometimes. And let me present the top 10 of our FPL. So here it goes. So at top position, it's still the same. It's still Jordan Smith. He's holding down number one spot right now. You've got Joseph Harrelson, who's moved up to second. Vipin Mohan is in third position. Then you have Ali Asghar dropping to fourth. Nana Sari has moved up to fifth. Anas Patla has pretty much stayed in sixth position. And we've got Tayo Aziz moving up to seventh. Lebanese Saka moving to eighth. And then you've got Sebastian Tunic dropping to ninth. And George Bissett in 10th position. So that is the top 10. Pretty much the usual faces or usual names, I should say, in the top 10. So yeah, not a lot of movers or shakers in this one. But yeah, let's see how the following weeks commence. And that is the end of today's show. So thank you, Jamin, for tuning in. Thank you to Mihaly and Uncle Ross for your comments. If you haven't already, please don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to the channel. The next Premier League show will be taking place next Monday at 10 p.m. And I believe there's only a few matches being played in Match Week 29. So look out for that one. But in terms of upcoming content on this channel, there's a lot of shows coming out this week. So tomorrow I'll be doing a match preview of Liverpool versus Sparta Praha in the Europa League Cup tie. And I'll also be doing a show with regards to breaking news that Liverpool are set to appoint Michael Edwards once again. Then on Thursday, three back-to-back shows. No rest for the wicked, as they say. Starting with a watch-along of Liverpool versus Sparta Praha. Then a match reaction show straight after the game. And then I'll also be doing a match preview of Manchester United versus Liverpool in the FA Cup quarterfinals. So a lot to look forward to. And that ends the show, guys. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Take care. Stay safe. And I hope to speak to you all very, very soon. Goodbye.